Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel according to John. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. This is the word of God for the people of God. May we be blessed in our hearing.
Let us pray. Holy God, sometimes it feels like a parade is rushing by us as we stand on the sidelines and try not to miss anything. There are hundreds of things that catch our eye, but the thing we fear most is missing you. So slow down the speed of this parade. Paint the colors of this world a little brighter. And dance through the words in our scripture passages and the meditations of our hearts until it is almost impossible to miss you there. God, we are here. We're trying to pay attention. Gratefully we pray. Amen. There were two parades that day. At the time of Jesus, pilgrims and tourists would flock to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. The population of the city would grow fivefold, from about 40,000 to almost 250,000, maybe more. And with the crowds would also come a great deal of religious fervor. And with this religious fervor would come a great deal of anti-imperial sentiment. You see, Passover, it's a holiday that's all about liberation. All about God saving God's people from situations of oppression. During Passover, Jews tell the story of Exodus, of Moses telling the Pharaoh, "Let my people go," and of God bringing the Israelites through the Red Sea waters, while Pharaoh's chariots were washed away. Passover, it's a pretty anti-imperial holiday. At the time of Jesus, Israel and Palestine was an outpost of the Roman Empire, under the control of a governor who spent most of his time in an opulent place, palace on the Mediterranean coast, in the town of Caesarea. But when the festival of Passover came, and all those riled up people descended on Jerusalem, the Roman governor would come too, bringing with him a show of force, just in case the fervor got out of hand. And so on that day, there was not one parade, but two entering Jerusalem. One was the official parade, coming from the west, led by Pontius Pilate, the governor at that time. Pilate's parade was a mighty one, complete with war horses, with armor creaking, legions of soldiers with sabers rattling, decked out chariots with flags flying, maybe even a marching band of some sort. Pilate's procession was intended to reinforce power of the Roman Empire by a show of force that would strike fear into the hearts of anyone who dared to disagree. And then there was the other parade, the unofficial parade, coming from the east, from Bethany. And it was led by Jesus, riding not on a battle-tested steed, but on a donkey. His followers had only palm branches to wave and cloaks to strew on the ground. They had no marching band, but the voice of people shouting, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Two parades came into Jerusalem that day. One was a parade driven by power of violence, and the other was a parade driven by the power of love and justice. One parade was a parade of oppression, representing an empire known for hammering on the poor and never giving up. The other was a parade shouting, "Hosanna, save us." Jesus rides in on a donkey, openly mocking Rome's fine parade and spectacle, essentially saying, "Give these people a break. Come on. For once, just let up and let them breathe." Here's something you probably don't know about me. Holy Week is one of my favorite weeks of the year. Everything about this week speaks to me as a Christian, and it reminds me how much more I can get up to as I live into my identity as a follower of Jesus. From Jesus calling out the injustices in the temple, to washing the feet of his disciples, to the meal in the upper room, to the words of farewell Jesus says to the disciples, to the deep and fervent prayers in the garden, to the betrayal, the arrest, the denial, the torture, the suffering, the grief, the disbelief, the crucifixion and the burial. All of this for me is much more than just a remembrance of what Jesus went through, what God did to show us the way. All of this is at the center of our identity as Christians. And all of this is what a Christian life looks like beyond Easter Sunday. Holy Week it's the evidence that a power based in sacrificial love can topple empires. Holy Week is the proof that a small band of faithful people can protest the status quo, and in doing so, change the course of world history. And it all begins with that procession into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Jesus' counter demonstration entering on the opposite side of Jerusalem is a call for justice in a city filled with injustice. Jesus' arrival is going to upset the status quo and threaten the peace of the city, which is one of the reasons the authorities voiced their objections. They were hoping to keep the peace, tone it down. But what kind of peace is there in the absence of justice? The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. calls this a negative peace. It's just the absence of conflict. What Jesus is calling for is a positive peace. That is peace with justice. Those religious authorities, they sure did sit up and notice Jesus, invested in keeping the status quo so they could hold on to their power and status. They had been watching Jesus for a while now. According to John's gospel, the straw that broke the proverbial camel's back, it was the raising of Lazarus from the dead. It happened just before Jesus comes into Jerusalem. Because of this act, so many people came to see that Jesus was the Messiah, that something had to be done about Jesus. So the powers that be conspired not only to kill Jesus, but Lazarus as well. Had to get rid of the evidence, right? And Jesus sat up too. Oh, imagine the courage it must have taken for Jesus to stage this counter-protest, sitting up straight on a donkey as if it were a war horse. Commentator Debbie Thomas called the parade a prophetic comedy and a satirical act of political theater designed to mock the obscene pomp and circumstance of Rome. What kind of courage must that have taken for Jesus? Jesus knew what was happening. He knew where that week was leading. Just think of the many stories of the people who sat up when nobody else would, and the courage they had. People like Claudette Colvin, whose refusal to give up her seat on a bus inspired Rosa Parks to do the same and kick off the Montgomery bus boycott. Or people like St. Oscar Romero, who rose to pray the Eucharist, even though doing so put him in the crosshairs of the assassin. He did it anyway, and he died as he lifted up the host. But where did it all go wrong? How did we get from waving palm branches and shouting Hosanna on Sunday to shouting Crucify Him on Friday? What happened that caused the Jerusalem establishment to want to kill Jesus and the crowd to just go along with it? The crowd that was completely behind Jesus earlier in the week. What caused them to turn their back in apathy? How do we get from triumphal entry to the crucifixion? And I think the answer is this: unfulfilled expectation. Under the oppressing rule of the Romans, the Israelites, they're yearning for freedom. And along comes Jesus, the man from Nazareth. People are calling the Messiah. In Jesus, the crowds see freedom from Roman rule. They see an end to their oppression. They see a political savior. And as Jesus is being led into Jerusalem on the back of the donkey, the crowd sits up and they see the man they think will overthrow the government and kick the Romans out for good. So Hosanna, they shout. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. But as the week progresses, they come to realize that Jesus is not who they think he is. Jesus spends the first 3 days of the week teaching in the temple. And his teaching does not go well with the religious establishment or even the crowds. First, he wreaks havoc with the money changers in the temple. These were the people who took the Roman currency and exchanged them for goods that were acceptable as sacrifices in the temple. Roman coins were unacceptable in the temple because they said that Caesar was God. The money changers made good profit in the business, something that made Jesus angry enough to toss their tables across the courtyard. The priests and the Pharisees were probably thinking, whoa, who does this guy think he is? And the crowds were wondering, all right, when's the coup's going to start? I'm ready. But Jesus had other plans. Jesus wasn't planning a political revolution. The revolution Jesus had was so much larger than that. In Jesus, God had come to earth to live among us, to teach us, to show us a new way of living. Jesus wasn't interested in being the king of the Jews. He wanted to usher in the kingdom of God. What? Kingdom of God? You mean you aren't going to kick out the Romans? The crowds thought. As Jesus taught in the temple that week, through many lessons and parables, the people realized he wasn't who they thought he was. The crowd realized that he wasn't their political savior, so they moved on. And when he was crucified, most of them stayed away in apathy. the temple establishment, however, they saw that Jesus was out to change the status quo for them. This new way that Jesus was teaching would upset their comfortable life. So they conspired to find a way to have him arrested and turned over to Rome as a traitor. As we travel through Holy Week, we learn of the betrayal plot by Judas. We see the disciples celebrate Passover and learn from Jesus the way we're to remember his sacrifice. We are there with the disciples trying to stay awake as he prays in the garden. We watch as he is arrested, beaten, and finally crucified. And we ask, who is Jesus? On Easter morning, we'll know the answer.